face, right? Even as we sing that, realize this doesn't just demand our 1 hour a week. This doesn't just demand 1 hour a day, but we have a love so amazing, so divine that it's worthy of our all. So we're giving our all here today. We're singing without the organ. We are sitting here without air conditioning, and we are loving the God who loves us, who had none of those things when he did his mission, and yet he still managed to change the world, right? Right. So that's what we're going to focus in on here today. And we are continuing this look at how Jesus showed the full extent of his love, starting in John 13 when he washed the feet of the disciples, all the way up until he says, "It is finished," on the cross. 24 hours goes by, and we're focused in on little scenes, little moments, little symbols. But perhaps today we hit the biggest symbol of all as we turn and look at the cross. This is that cross that is so amazing and full of so much love. It doesn't look like it, does it? It looks like defeat, and yet it is victory. It looks like death, and yet it is the bringing of life. This is what Martin Luther referred to as the hiddenness of God as Jesus is hanging on the cross. God hidden, and yet God revealing his true heart and his true plan and his true righteousness given for us. I'm getting a little bit ahead, so let me kind of look at all the lessons here together with you. And first of all, as you heard Herschel read our Old Testament reading, what an amazing thing that back in Deuteronomy, back, you know, almost 1,500 years before Jesus came on the cross, God said, "Oh, by the way, if somebody's ever guilty, and they're so guilty that you plan on hanging them on a tree, then I want to make sure you know, don't leave them on that tree overnight because they're already under our curse. They're already under my curse. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Isn't it hard to imagine Jesus being cursed? And yet he was. He was willing to endure a curse. He was willing to endure the curse of God so that you and I could get the blessing of God. He's willing to endure being forsaken by God so that you and I can have the acceptance of God. He is willing to become sin for us so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. But it took so much for that to happen through him. It took him being cursed. It took him being rejected. It took him saying, "I will leave my close connection that I've had with the Father before all eternity, and I will be willing to be split and separated away from him, not just as a human on earth, but as a human hanging on a cross, hanging on the tree." Jesus was willing to be cursed, and I want to make sure we all know this is not because Jesus had low self-esteem. It's not because he didn't think much of himself. What it means is that he had high you esteem. He esteemed you and me so highly that he was willing to go through all of that suffering. He was willing to endure all of that because he wanted us to know we were loved. He had high you esteem, and that's what he's living out. He's really living out that epistle reading for us that we have looked at, that in humility, he's counting others as more significant than himself. Can you imagine that? The one who made every cell that is in your body thinks of you as being more significant than himself. The one who spun every star that is out there, who named every animal, who made all that you can possibly see, touch, taste, feel, and smell. The creator of all thought of you as more important than himself. And that moment on the cross, that's what's happening. Not just that moment, but we know this went on for hours. We know that this went on as a part of his whole 3-year ministry of him in humility, counting others more significant than himself. How many meals did Jesus skip so he could be in prayer? How many nights did he go without sleep before he, whether it was choosing his disciples or was walking towards the cross? How many breaths of life did he give up that he might pour the breath of life into us even as he breathes his last? On the cross, he considers you more significant than himself. I just wonder if we can think of ourselves as being that precious, if we can be that awed and moved by what he was willing to do, and if we also can realize that he was looking out for our own, for our interests. You know, if you ever see people zooming on the road, right? They're going really fast. I think the comedian, or maybe he was a prophet, George Carlin said, you know, the people that drive super fast on the highway are idiots, and the people that drive super slow are morons. I think he was the one that said that, if I have it all right. Idiots, morons, whatever it is, they're people looking after their own interests, right? The assuming people think they're more important than all the rest of us because they're going to get there faster than all the rest of us. The ones driving slow are looking out for their own interests, whether they're nervous to be on the highway or they're on their phones or whatever it is that they're doing. They're driving slower than all of us. They're all looking for their own interests. People in an amusement park, crisscrossing the grocery store, wherever it is, they're all crisscrossing. They're all looking for their own interests. Thank goodness we have traffic lights that occasionally get us to not just look for our own interests, but also for the interests of others, right? Because that's how we safely cross those intersections. That's how we get from point A to point B without getting crushed and crippled. Jesus was thinking of us and was willing to do this. He was thinking of all of the crazy things that we have done, all the sinful things we've done, all the moronic things that we have done, and said, you know what? Having them in heaven with the Father and me is far more important than me just taking care of myself. And that's what he was willing to do. In Jesus' high school yearbook, there is no entry that said, had an interest in crosses and in physical suffering. But if he had a high school yearbook, I'm pretty sure the entry in there would be, interested in everyone being in heaven with him and with his Father. And it's looking after those own interests, no matter what it cost him. Looking after us, that Jesus is saying, that's how much he values you. Whenever you and I are wearing a cross, we're really wearing our own price tag. We're wearing what Jesus was willing to pay for us. His price tag for us was his pouring out of his life, his suffering, his emptying himself out, and all that the soldiers tried to do to him, all that the crowds tried to do to him, he didn't care because it was what he was trying to do for you and for me. And we're called that the cross would be our way of life too. You know, repeated more often, except for any command, except for love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Repeated more than that is Jesus in all of the Gospels saying over and over and over again, if you're going to be my follower, you have to take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. What that really means, friends, is that we're willing to put God first. We're willing to live like Jesus, where we aren't just thinking about our own interests, zooming around other people. Who can I skip? Who can I get past? So I can get to be the first one to the coffee, or I can be the first one to Luby's, or I can be the first one in my family that gets to go and do the X and Y or Z. But it is saying, I want to put others first, just like Jesus put me first. I want to put God first in my life. And that's truly what's going on. And then secondly, after putting God first, we put others next and we put ourselves last. When we're told to take up, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus. Denying ourselves does not necessarily mean that we're going to take whips to our backs or we're never going to eat any food. But what it does mean is that I'm going to stop having to be in the driver's seat. I'm going to stop having to have my own way. I'm going to stop trying to have my family and others all orbit around me as if I'm the center of the universe. And instead, I'm going to trust that God's the center of my universe. And I want what he wants. Not my will, but his be done. I might like this certain toy. I might want to watch this certain TV show. But I want what God wants. And when you and I are willing to make little sacrifices like that, a half an hour here, an hour there, suddenly we have time. We have capacity to help someone else in need, even if it's just listening to their hurts, to their worries or fears. To deny oneself means to make God the dominant ruling principle of your life. What he wants, what he would do, and it is that saying yes to God, whatever it is, and saying no to ourselves, that begins to change the world. Jesus did it first and he showed us the way, and we can certainly change the world around us if we'll do the same. Friends, that's the way of love, is that it's not just what I want, it's what I want for the other. It's not just what God wanted for himself, but it's what he wanted for you and me to be there in heaven with him. And it may mean giving up some time, some pleasure, some sitting by the sitting in front of the TV or by the fireplace or whatever it is. It might be that we're called to visit someone who's lonely or sad. But Christians know that when they sacrifice something, what they are giving away is minuscule compared to what they've been given. That's what love does, and it is that life that is the true life. May God help us all see that life poured out for us on the cross, want that life that Jesus offered, and give that life away as we say yes to God and yes to others, first and always. Amen.